I am bringing you out, says the Lord. With a mighty hand, you will see me. It's not what you're doing. You go vote for me like I told you to. But I'm bringing you out with a mighty hand. No one will take credit for this. No one. This is my move. This is my day, says the Lord.
Oh, this is the beginning of the final great revival, says God. This is the beginning of those things, saith God. It's not by the works of men. It's not even by your prayer. It's by your obedience that this is beginning to happen. The outpouring of my spirit has begun. It has already started, but you are beginning to walk in some of the manifestations of this. For I told you 2 years ago, it's a new wind. I told you 2 years ago, it's a new move. It's a fresh move of my spirit, says God. Well, now you're seeing the leaves beginning to rustle. You're seeing the trees begin to sway at the breath of my spirit, declares God. This is but the beginning. It's not the end. It's a battle in the war. But it is a battle that I have won, declares God. It is a war that I have already decreed victory in, saith God. Oh, there will be dark times. There will be those things that come upon the earth. But woe, woe, woe to those who prophesy doom and death and destruction. For I am coming in my glory, declares God. And you will see my manifestation beginning to sweep over this earth, declares God. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 2:14, our favorite Bible verse. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I could be like some famous ministers I know. I can take a piece of paper and wad it up and say, God told me to throw away all my notes and I'm just going to speak from the heart today. But he actually did that. I thought this morning, it's like, I almost feel like I'm in Haiti because I don't really, I've got a broad outline, but I don't know where, well, I know where it's going, but I don't know how we're going to get there. This I want to talk to you about the elections. This is such a crucial year, such a crucial time. I want to talk to you about some things because you may or may not be aware of things that are going on. Go with me, first of all, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 33 and 34. Now I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, that we don't have the knowledge of God. But he says, be not deceived. Now, I'm really going to try to stay on target on this, but Hillary Clinton made the comment the other day that you should watch Donald Trump because of who he associates with. Okay, bad company corrupts good values. She says you need to be cautious about Donald Trump because of who he's associating with. And I didn't know this, but the news had just, or I guess I heard it that day or the day after that, that one of I don't know name, I don't know who it is, I don't have any information about it, but evidently someone in Donald Trump's circle is being questioned by the FBI. And then they went on to say 5 people in Hillary's close circle is being investigated by the FBI. This is a problem with politicians. Sometimes they tell you the truth. You're just not sure when. Evil company corrupts, and you are known by the company that you keep. Well, Hillary Clinton's got 5 people under investigation, not questioning, investigation on her staff. I'm going to give you a lot more on this, but let me read 1 Corinthians 15:34 from the Message Bible. Let me get it up here. I've got all kinds of notes and stuff that I'm looking at today, so I'm pulling from a lot of different resources. From the Message Bible, 34 says, think straight. Awaken to the holiness of life. No more playing fast and loose with resurrection facts. Ignorance of God is a luxury you can't afford in times like these. Aren't you embarrassed that you've let this kind of thing go on as long as you have? Now, I can take out the term resurrection and apply it more accurately today. No more playing fast and loose with facts. Everybody has information. Everybody has knowledge. Everybody has all this. But I'll tell you, if your knowledge is not based in God, it's wrong knowledge. Amen? If it's not based in the Word of God. Politicians come and go. There's good, there's bad, there's indifferent, and there's some downright dangerous. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, some of the versions will read something like this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin destroys a nation. Again, the Message Bible translates that as, God devotion makes a country strong, God avoidance leaves people weak. In one of the discussions, one of the debates that Hillary and Bernie Sanders had with each other, the question came up about God. Do they believe in a God? Bernie Sanders said outright, no, I don't. Now, his background is Jewish. He said, I don't believe in a God. They asked Hillary, and she says, well, I believe in a supreme being of some kind, but I don't know really who he is or much about him. Now, Hillary's a Methodist lay minister. One of the things that I have heard about her is that she went into politics because a pastor encouraged her to go in that direction. So as a Methodist lay minister, at least she used to be an avowed Christian. Bill Clinton said he was a Christian. Now she doesn't know if there's a God. Now, to me, those are serious warnings about it. And if I would go on what I normally say, since Jimmy Carter, no one has been elected president that hasn't come out and specifically said, I am a Christian. This year is unusual because Hillary has not claimed to be a Christian. Neither has Donald Trump. But Donald Trump has been attacked for some of his views and some of his things that he did earlier. But let me give you an answer to this. Paula White, about 10 years ago, led Donald Trump to the Lord. Donald Trump has assembled more ministers around him than any other candidate in history. He is reaching out, not to the religious community, but to the evangelical, Bible-believing community like nobody has ever reached out to. He has a board of ministers, and we've heard from several of these ministers on television, and they say, I talk to Donald Trump personally daily. And they say, Donald Trump's a young believer. He's new in this. He doesn't understand. His background is Presbyterian. That'll tell you a lot. You know, Presbyterians, their essential theology, and I'm not making this up, is God has already predestined your life, and what happens, happens. And it's all in God's plan. You don't really have any choice or any options for what goes on in your life. I reject that, but that's how he was raised. That's the philosophy that he was raised in. And so if you take that, you can understand how Donald has some of the actions that he takes, maybe. Some of the things with that is I just want you to be aware that he is a Christian. We listened to, I think it was Jim Baker on his program. He said Donald Trump had a conference, and I think Lance Wallnau reinforced this, but he had a conference with 1,000 ministers. He said, how does anybody get 1,000 different pastors together? I mean, they're all evangelical, but they're Lutheran, they're Catholic, they're Pentecostal, they're Methodist, they're, you know, the evangelical Christians. He got 1,000 together in a room and actually talked with them. And one of the things that Lance Wallnau, and I'm not sure if it was at that meeting or a different meeting, but one of the things that Lance Wallnau shared about Donald Trump is when he got the pastors together, he was talking with them, and he told them, you people, you Christians, you all have one thing in common. And Lance said, I was looking forward to this. I was leaning forward in my seat. What is it that we have in common? What? He said, is it our love? Is it our generosity? Is it our love of God? You know, what is this? He says, fear. Donald Trump says, you guys are riddled with fear. You have no confidence. You have no faith. You're riddled with fear, and you let fear direct you. He's prophesying to the church. He's right. Where's all this going? God devotion makes a country strong. God avoidance leaves people weak. And everywhere except within certain positions within the United States, people are saying we're weak. Our military is soon to fall below pre-World War II standards, and it was almost non-existent before World War II. Because after World War I, the war to end all wars, we disbanded most of the military. We're flying aircraft now that were, in order to get them up in the air, we're having to scavenge. They have actually gone to aircraft museums to get parts for planes so that they can fly our jet fighters today. They say in the United States, our first response aircraft, we can get about 34% to fly at any given time. Greatest power on earth. And this is what, see, when you don't follow God, you become weak in so many different ways. In the presidential vote, this is on one of the videos we watched this weekend, but 50% of people vote in a presidential election. And as few as 35% will choose who the next president of the United States will be. Those are awesome figures. I say that because your vote counts. Don't throw away your vote. You've got essentially two choices. Don't throw away your vote. Now, I'm going to share it in this way. Last Friday, we were at a minister's meeting. We were at a minister's meeting over in Winchester. And a lady had tongues. And I knew as soon as she started, I had the interpretation. And it's one of those things that it takes nerve to say some stuff. I mean, it took nerve for Kathy to share what she shared today. I mean, it's always scary when you're not used to giving a word of the Lord, to give a word. It's always scary. But boy, when you give a word of the Lord that is direct, that is specific, it is really scary. Okay? I knew I had the interpretation, and the lady looked at me. She says, Gordon, I believe you've got this. And the other person said, I think you've got it too. And then Debbie says, I think so too. And I said, I know I do. And they said, well, why don't you give it? Because I'm scared. This is a specific word, and it makes me nervous to give that specific a word. This is the kind of word I want to hide in my heart and afterwards come out and say, well, God told me. And last night God said, you can't do that with this one. You've got to put it out there. I believe Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. I believe God has his hand on this man. If you've watched any Christian programming, almost everyone is talking about a Cyrus anointing. That God can raise up Gentiles and deliver Israel or deliver his people. He's done it over and over and over again. I'm not going to go into the Cyrus anointing, but some people say, and David Barton made the comment, he says, if King David would run for office, what would the ads be like that would run against him? He was a murderer. An adulterer. He messes around with women. He had a harem. He danced naked in the streets. Is this the kind of person you want for president? He's a murderer. He's a peeping Tom. He looks at women on their balconies while they're taking a bath. He cannot control his children. I mean, you could bring all kinds of things. And yet God says David is a man after his own heart. Now, I want to get back to the time when you don't have to choose, as Dick Gregory said years ago, that you don't have to choose the least evil between two people. I'd love to get back to that day when you have a choice of two godly candidates. Unfortunately, we don't have that choice. But I think we have very stark choices. I could have predicted that Mitt Romney would lose the election because he wasn't a Christian. No brainer. And I could say the same thing this year because Hillary Clinton has denied God, she will not win, if for no other reason than that. Now, last week I talked about abortion. Hillary is for aborting babies up to delivery and even even the final time of when of partial birth abortion. That's when the baby is being born, but they kill the baby even as it's literally coming out of the womb. Hillary's in favor of that. Donald Trump, you know, he's not in favor of that. President Obama was asked before he was elected president the first time, says, when does life begin? And he couldn't answer the question. They asked him, does it begin at conception? He goes, I don't know. Does it begin when the baby's 3 months old? I don't know. How about when the baby's born? Rick Warren asked him the questions. He said, how about when the baby's born? Is it human then? No, I really can't say. He said, well, when the baby's a year old, is it human? He declined to answer again. He said, when the child becomes 12, is it human yet? And he said, well, it's beyond my pay grade. Now, think about that. He doesn't know if children are people yet. Do you know there was actually a bill introduced into Congress by a Democrat congressperson to allow parents to abort their children up to 1 year after their natural birth? In other words, if you decide, hey, I don't like my kid, they're damaged somehow, they're not complete, I can go ahead and abort them. Now, this is worrisome because on Obama's staff, there's a point to this. On President Obama's staff, there is a person, I can't remember his name, but there is a person who believes that humans are infesting the earth. This is a world movement, that humans are infesting the earth. And in order to save the planet, this is all part of the environmental plan, in order to save the planet, we need to reduce the world population. The next question is, okay, what is the number that you think is sustainable for people in order to save the planet? The figures range between 3 and 5 million. The United States has over 300 million. I want to know who's going to do the process selection. Who's going to make the choices for this? Why don't they volunteer first and save the planet? You know, they'll never volunteer first. Why? Because they are too smart to do that, because you are the ones who are not fully human. Now, fully human has been described a few years ago, I can show you the documentation if you want it, by a group over in Oxford, England, a bunch of liberal intellectuals, and they said you are not fully human unless you are making a contribution to society. They did not define what a contribution to society means. But what they're saying, if they deem this intellectual board, if they deem you are not making a contribution to society, that you should be exterminated. Is that when you retire from work? How about when you get old and you can't just perform as much as you used to? What does it mean to be fully human? See, they never answered that question, because if they do, they've opened a real Pandora's box, but it's already been initiated that this is the direction that the intellectual world is going into, of eliminating people, that the undesirables, the irredeemables, code. And I don't think it's too much of a code anymore. But let me give you some things, because God's been talking to us about this. And I want to bring this up to you, because I think this is just remarkable. On May the 8th of this year, God said, the fire has begun to fall, for the zeal of my house shall consume me. It's a fresh fire and it's a new fire. It's not one that looks to the past, but one that looks to me, says God. For I've lit a flame and I've placed it again in my tabernacle. For the light's flickered and the light's been dimmed. For there are those who do not look at the light, but they look at themselves. The fire had almost gone out, but I'm lighting the candlestick again, says God. When we heard that, we thought, oh, the church. Debbie, the other day, this came up in her, and she says, it's the United States. The flame had almost gone out, but I'm lighting the candlestick again, says God. There are intellectuals saying that the biggest mistake the world has ever made is the creation of the United States of America. Because the United States of America has put a false belief in the hearts of people that there is such a thing as freedom. And they've actually come out and said slavery, having a upper class and a lower class, is the natural order of things. And freedom is a big interruption in that whole process, that people would even begin to think that they're free, that they can make choices about what's best for them. Do I need to remind you, in New York, the mayor said it's illegal to have Cokes over 16 ounces? He passed a law that said it's illegal to sell single cigarettes on the street. The man that they charged the police with choking him to death, trying to get him down, was selling single cigarettes. An order had gone out that week from the mayor to the police department. I want this stopped. I want it off the street now, period. No exceptions. And so the police were doing their job. Ordered by the mayor, the man resisted. He died of a heart attack, not choking. He died of a heart attack. Okay, the charges were dismissed because they couldn't prove that the police did anything wrong. Now, whether you agree with that or not is not the point. But my point is, if they hadn't enforced the illegality to sell a single cigarette on the street, that man would probably be alive today. We're being told our institutions are inherently racist. Hillary Clinton has said that she's not a liberal, she's a progressive, in the line of Woodrow Wilson. Does anybody know what a progressive was back in the days of Woodrow Wilson? It meant a socialist, it meant a communist. That's what a progressive was. Progressive was a veiled word so you wouldn't know I'm a socialist or whatever. Woodrow Wilson, the military was integrated until Woodrow Wilson became president. Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, segregated the military. Black and white couldn't fight together. Woodrow Wilson fired all the federal government employees in D.C. that were black because he didn't think they were competent to hold those offices. The segregation of schools legally came into existence under Woodrow Wilson. You can read the history books on it. They tell you. His favorite film was Birth of a Nation, which was decrying the outcome of the Civil War, that slaves were set free. One of the Black Lives Matter, he was the head of Black Lives Matter in Milwaukee, where they had the demonstration. He was the one that started the chant, pigs in a blanket, let them fry, or something like that. He got a memo. This was in the papers here a few weeks ago. He got a notification from Black Lives Matter headquarters, and they said, this is our policy. We are, and in that he read, they are against charter schools. Now, the NAACP has also come out with a statement that they are against charter schools. He said, I quit Black Lives Matter. And his statement was, Black Lives Matter is irrelevant. This is one of the organizers. This is a guy who really brought them into the forefront in a lot of ways. He says, Black Lives Matter is irrelevant right now. He says, because they don't really care about black lives. They only care about liberal social issues. He says, why would you be against charter schools in the inner city when you've got 80% dropout rate? You've got an illiteracy rate. You're guaranteeing these people cannot get a job, cannot go to school, cannot hold down anything because you're robbing them of their education. Hillary Clinton is against charter schools. Donald Trump is for charter schools. In slavery, they passed a law. It was illegal to teach a slave to read. Why don't you want slaves to read? Because if they read, they get ideas. Once people get ideas, they start thinking for themselves, and you can't keep them in bondage any longer. Why does Islam not want women to go to school? Because if they find out who they are and find out that they don't have any rights, but if they would, then you're elevating women. It's like, well, that would just throw Islam totally off balance. Yeah. So the dumber you are, the better it is for the elite, the rulers. On May the 8th, the Lord continued. He says, for men have looked to themselves and they've looked to their own abilities and they've looked to the textbooks as to how to do these things. And they've given themselves unto men and yet have not given themselves to me. Bring another word up. I don't know which order I want to do this in. Like I say, I've got so many things here, just a few minutes to do. Lynn Hammond shared, well, I'll share it this way. Tuesday, I think it was the 25th of October, as we were praying for the nation, the Lord really dealt with me, and he said, pray for the wheels to come off the chariots. It's like, boy, I know the imagery. And we start praying, Lord, take the wheels off the chariots. Now, who do the chariots belong to? Pharaoh. Who was Pharaoh? An oppressor. Pharaoh was the one who was chasing the children of God. Pharaoh was the one who wanted to kill them, who wanted to destroy them. I can give you a whole lot of examples. Come tonight and you'll hear some more. But to make a long story short, Pharaoh's wheels are coming off. That afternoon, I forget exactly what it was, but there was a story that had just come out about Hillary, and I said, the wheels are coming off. The wheels are coming off. Every day, the wheels keep coming off. Every day, more and more and more stuff keeps coming out again. And it's like the wheels are falling off. It's come out through some of these things. The Democrats have paid. They've been released, but they've disappeared. The Democrats were paying people to go into Trump rallies and create violence so they could accuse Trump of it. Plants paid by the DNC. Paid with an organization. And the one man boasted on videotape, he talked to a major Hillary operations officer. I mean, with direct contact to Hillary, he talked with her 1 o'clock every day to make plans as to where to go next. This is the political machine that has been fighting. Now, let me share some things that God's added to me in that vision. Not only are the wheels coming off, but they're getting mired in their own trap. And the very things they've created, they're getting mired into. And the water is going to come in and drown them. Now, the water represents people in many places in the Bible. The people are rising up against, because we're tired of this. And the body of Christ has got to raise up, that, and we've got to start saying, enough is enough. We are not going to go silently into submission. We are not going to silently give up our rights. Did you know that freedom of religion has now been termed a racist phrase? It's code for we want to own slaves again. Does anybody know history? Do you know that the Civil War started because of the abolitionists that went in and said slaves are people too, and slaves need to be set free? And what did they do? They were all Christian. Every single one was Christian. Every single one was going into the slave areas, and they were giving out Bibles and teaching people how to read the Bible. And the slave owners, well, we ought to let them read the Bible. I mean, a Christian slave makes a good slave, right? Because the Bible says not to rebel against your master. So if they read that part of the Bible, it's okay. Yeah, but they read about Pharaoh. And they read about Jesus who died on the cross to set them free. And they read about where the Spirit of Christ is, there is the Spirit of liberty. And they rebelled. And they came up out of it. The KKK, I've heard all my life it was Republican. I found out about 5 or 6 years ago, the KKK was a Democratic Party, formed organization from the Democrats, and the reason they hung black people, every black in the South was a Republican. When did the lynching stop? When you couldn't tell if a black man was a Republican or a Democrat anymore. They gave up their liberty. I could go on, but I want to try to. There's something I want to get to. Lynn Hammond had a word of the Lord just October the 11th, not too long ago, and she had a word of the Lord and went to Isaiah 43, where it talks about the horse and the rider thrown in the sea, and she says, "I saw the Lord open this wide door for America, and I saw a tremendous spirit of restoration beginning to rest on this nation, and it rested there until it was restored. I saw a tremendous success, prosperity restored. The economic situation turned around. The social situation turned around. The political situation turned around. Just a tremendous restoration. I saw this nation respected among nations again. I saw that the dollar would be the strongest it's ever been, and other nations' currencies would be judged by it, and I wish I had time to go through each one of these. As we see this door open, we see things changing. I saw the people of America wake up to see how devils for decades had robbed us. I saw America's voice raised once again and amplified to the nations because we had returned to the foundations of justice and truth." She quotes Jamie Wilkerson, who prophesied years ago, It is not insignificant that the insignia of America is the eagle, or that she would be likened to the eagle. She, America, will have a period of time during which she would go into a season when spiritually she would seem to grow old, and even people would be looking toward death for her. But I will again renew her youth like an eagle. Suddenly America will renew her vision. She will give her shriek and take off in the heavenlies. A lot of things going on. When Bill Clinton was elected president, I stood in this very pulpit and I said, we have elected a Pharaoh who does not know Jesus, does not know Joseph. And it's been that way ever since his election. With this turnaround that's coming Tuesday, it just hit me the other day. Hillary is the successor to her husband Bill. It's the same Pharaoh family. The Pharaoh's being tossed into the sea. The Pharaoh's getting mired in their own muck of their own making. Amen. Let me give you a couple more words. And there's so much. July the 3rd, God spoke to us. He said, there is a fresh wind that has begun to blow. It's blowing across the United States, but it's a wind that's larger than what you are aware of. It's a wind of my Holy Spirit. For I am moving across the face of this planet of this earth. I am moving among all peoples of every tribe and every language. There's a change. The wind has been blowing in one direction, and I'm changing the direction of the wind. There will be those who will sorrow and grieve because all they can see is the loss of their position, the loss of what they thought they had obtained. And you see that in both parties. Both parties, in so many ways, have colluded with each other. I'm not letting the Republicans off for it. I'm not letting the ones who fake conservatives, to fake their conservativeness, as I say that right, who fake it, get off with it. Because people will say anything to get elected. Amen? Republicans, Democrats, they'll agree. Kenneth Copeland had a prophecy years ago. He said if Jesus would sell cornflakes, they'd put his picture on the box. And that's exactly how this world is. They'll use Jesus or anything to get into position, but you've got to judge them by what they do when they get into position, not what they say they're going to do. Lord went on, he said, but they have built on false premises and they are starting to fall, declares God. For in the wind that I am blowing and the breath of my spirit, there is a fresh life and there is a fresh desire for a spirit of liberty that only comes through me. And there are those, and there will be those who are my people and they will rejoice. Even religious institutions are going to begin to crumble. And in this new move, you will have to walk closer to me than you've ever walked before, because there will be what many see as confusion and upturning the tables, upturning the tables in the temples that they have built. But their false temples will not stand in this new day, declares God. For I am moving and I am tearing down those things that have been built of men, and I am establishing my kingdom in the earth, and it shall go to all corners. He says, it won't be in a year or two or three or five or even seven, but I am doing it, declares God. So keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the newspapers and the news media to find out what I'm going to do, says God, for they will not understand. They don't have a clue what's going on out there. They're so tied up in the polls. A poll came out the other day that showed Donald Trump had closed about 12 points with Hillary in one state. And they said, there's no new polling data. We didn't go out and do a new poll. We just reassessed the poll we had taken previously. Well, does that mean you lied then or you're lying now? I get confused. I just don't know. When was it that you lied to me? See, they're trying to rig the election by false news stories, by covering some news stories and not others. Donald Trump has had 91% negative coverage in all the news. 91% negative coverage. And yet he's going to win on Tuesday. The news media has for years been the king setter on the throne of America. And their days are over. Woody prophesied July the 8th, I'm about ready to reveal the hidden things, declares God. I tell you, when dirt comes up, I don't like it. I don't like it. I mean, I hurt for Hillary because I think that God could use her. I think God could do great things. I prayed for Bill Clinton. I believe that these people will turn and give their lives to God, but they're so self-centered they can't do that. It's just not in them. Bill, the Clinton Foundation, last year they gave five, or maybe it over 10 years, but anyway, the records show they gave a little over $5 million to charitable causes around the world. That was all their charitable. They spent $12 million on parties. $12 million. $34 million on salaries. Another $7 million on transportation. You're going to spend $60, $70 million to distribute $5 million? What is wrong with this picture? Something isn't right. He says, Woody said, prophesied, I'm about ready to reveal the hidden things, declares God. As you begin to pray, I'll begin to reveal the conspiracies of men. I'll begin to make all things plain, all things evident. I will begin to shine my light in the grossest darkness. As you begin to rise and shine, as you begin to pray, I will cause blinders to go off people's eyes. And once again, this nation will awaken and see me, declares God. It will be because of the prayers and intercession of my people that blinders will be removed and my glory will be revealed. And even as I am revealing darkness and driving it out by my light, I also will begin to bring revelation knowledge like never before, declares God. For we are coming into a season of a great awakening. We're coming to a season where I'm going to blow fresh all over this land. There's coming to a season where no system will be able to stop me, declares God. We're coming into a system of the kingdom of the kingdom age, declares the Lord. And there's a little bit more in that. These prophecies are at the back or available through the church. They're all on the website that you can read them. October the 23rd, just 2 weeks ago, God prophesied. He says, the time of my story, history, that you are entering into requires a level of obedience that my church has not walked in for some time. He says, many things that I have desired, many things that my people have prayed for, have gone undone for a lack of discipline. Even the election that is before you is dependent upon my discipline that you would vote for me, says God. And the future of this nation will reflect the discipline of my church to do that which is right. We are on the cusp. We are on the breaking point. Now, this is the story I wanted to get to with all these things that we said. This just broke a few days ago. Have you heard of spirit cooking? Anybody know what spirit cooking is? Okay, this will shock you. I'm not trying to gross you out on this, but I want you to be aware of this. They found an email through WikiLeaks from dated June the 28th, 2015, where a woman by the name of Mariana Abramovic wrote to Tony Podesta, who is John Podesta's brother. John Podesta is the campaign chairman for Hillary Clinton. Remember, you've got to watch who people hang out with to know what they're like. That's what Hillary said. She wrote this email. I am so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you will be able to let me know if your brother is joining? All my love, Marina. Tony Podesta forwarded the email to his brother, John Podesta, asking him, are you in New York City Thursday, July the 9th? Mariana wants you to come to dinner. What is spirit cooking? Mariana has written a book of recipes, and she talks about spirit cooking in the book. Now, if you look this up and say, well, was John Podesta involved in spirit cooking, Snoops will say, this is false, this is misleading, this is a lie, this is made up. Really? If I would ask you to come to my house for spirit cooking, would you ask me what it was? I think most of you would, you know. But now, if I know what it is, you don't have to ask me because you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, spirit cooking is I'm not trying to gross you out, but you need to be aware of these things going on. Spirit cooking refers, quote, to a sacrament in the religion of Thelema, which was founded by Aleister Crowley, and involves an occult performance during which menstrual blood, breast milk, urine, and sperm are used to create a painting. According to Mariana Abramovic, if the ritual is performed in an art gallery, it is merely art. But if the ritual is performed privately, then it represents an intimate spiritual ceremony. the painting, this the sentence says, Abramovich mixes together thickly congealed blood as the recipe for the painting, which is comprised of the words, with a sharp knife cut deeply into the middle finger of your left hand and eat the pain. The ceremony, quote, is meant to symbolize the union between the microcosm, man, and the macrocosm, the divine, which is the representation of one of the prime maxims in Hermeticism, as above, so below. Abramovich is, who is she? They say, well, Snoop says this is false because this lady has come out and denied it. She has said, it's just a normal dinner, folks. That's all I meant. I just was inviting them over for supper. Now, this is who this person is that invites John Podesta over, and obviously her brother, or John Podesta's brother Tony, is involved in this. And obviously, to me, John Podesta has some knowledge of this because his brother would invite him without explaining what it is to him. Abramovich is known for often gory art that confronts pain and ritual. Her first performance, public performance, involved repeatedly stabbing herself in her hands with a knife. The next performance featured her throwing her nails, toenails, and hair into a flaming five-point star, which she eventually jumped inside of, causing her to lose consciousness, writes Cassandra Fairbanks. There's a picture of her holding a bloody goat's head, which is an occult symbol, bafflement. I don't know who that is. News will never carry this, but the Washington Times did. Washington Times has an article about this, and they're kind of in the middle. They don't really know quite what's going on with this. The article goes on, spirit cooking is also an occult practice used during sex cult rituals, as explained in the book Spirit Cooking with Essential Aphrodisiac Recipes. The revelation that John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, is presumably interested in weird, gory occult ceremonies was too juicy for even WikiLeaks to ignore. The Podesta's spirit cooking dinner, it's not what you think. It's blood, sperm, and breast milk, but mostly blood, the organization tweeted. And I would think that would be whoever the organization is that is coming up with this stuff. This is really iffy here. I'm just going to say this and let it go on. But some are even linking the spirit cooking revelation to claims that Podesta emails contain code, quote, code for child sex trafficking, unquote, that is hidden behind mentions of certain types of food. Hillary's top aide, Huma, has also emailed articles about one of the organizations that supports spirit cooking. The Washington Times on November, that just came out on November the 4th. The Washington Times had an article about it on November the 4th. This is the disclaimer that Maria put out on this. Spirit cooking with essential aphrodisiac recipes was released by Ms. Abramovich in 1996, but the ingredients call for fresh breast milk and with fresh sperm milk to be consumed on earthquake nights. So the paper's using that to say, well, see, she denied this because there wasn't an earthquake night that night. Excuse me? I don't even know what an earthquake night is. You know, could it be a reference to something that you and I don't understand because we're not involved in it? I don't know. But that's her denial of this. Here's the actual email. Dear Tony, I'm so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you'll be able to let me know if your brother is joining? All my love, Marina. Sounds like they have an interesting relationship. They know each other. According to the aura surrounding Ms. Abramovich is an interview with Lady Gaga that was uploaded to YouTube May 30, 2010, where the entertainer praises a German performance where Mrs. Abramovich laid on a table with guns, condoms, sleeping pills, and ropes. Oh, this is the kind of person you want your campaign chairman to be involved with, right? Can you believe this? I told Debbie, said, nobody would believe this because it is so weird. It is so out there. It's in the emails. Now, these emails, 33,000, were deleted because they only had to do with the wedding and other personal things. Wonder how much else they're hiding. I can give you some other stuff, but it's just, her stuff is outrageous, what she's done. I mean, you can Google the article. I'm not going to go through the other stuff because it gets even a little bit more gory and a little bit more worse. This is what we're up against. When I read this, it's like, well, I've had my suspicions, but it's like, she's got people involved in the occult. This is what I believe. She's got people involved in the occult in her entourage. Huma Abedin, I'll just throw this out. Huma Abedin, now, DNC has actually denied this, but Huma Abedin was an editor with her mother's newspaper in the Middle East, which was a state newspaper, and Huma wrote articles, editorials for the newspaper condemning the United States, saying that all women should be subject around the world to Sharia law, that Sharia was going to dominate the United States and take over the United States. And the DNC's explanation of that was, it was her mother's newspaper. She just did what she was told. She's been a close aide, close confidant with Hillary Clinton since Huma was 19 years old. These are the kinds of people that surround Hillary. These are the kinds of people that are influential in the DNC. These are the people that don't want education in the inner cities. These are people that want to abort babies. A number of black leaders have come out in the last 5 years saying abortion is specifically targeted against blacks because whites don't want blacks to populate too much. Do you know how Planned Parenthood got started? Do you remember the genetics movement? Well, you probably don't, but around World War I, there was a genetics movement. And it was the same desire that's rearing its head today to get rid of the inferior people. The head, the originator of Planned Parenthood, her goal was, we're going to put these sinners in all the poor communities to eradicate people that are, in my words today, modern words, are not fully human. We're going to get rid of the lower classes. And part of the reason was, they're too stupid to be able to learn and come up to the level of the white man. DNC and their platform says, we unequivocally support Planned Parenthood and will guarantee its funding through the federal government. Is the choice clear? Now see, the news media has all been concentrated on, well, Donald Trump said this, and Donald Trump said that, and you never hear what Hillary said, and you never hear about these people that, you never hear about, why? Because the news media doesn't want you to understand what's going on out there. The problem is there's the internet. The problem is you can actually Google and find this stuff and find it's not just in one place. It's not just a certain group. The Washington Times wrote this stuff up. And their piece, like I said, over the spirit of cooking, their piece comes to the conclusion that we really don't know what the heck to make out of this, but it's strange. It's like, well, I know what to make out of it. You can't deny it. Well, it was only meant for earthquake nights. Her art gallery pictures that evidently are liked by a lot of certain class people use blood. Wow, I really want that hanging in my living room. I mean, I just love this. Look how bright the red is. Is this what we think about human beings? That we can use them for art? That we can desecrate people and treat people like this? See, I believe in personal freedom. With personal freedom comes personal responsibility. If you're not willing to take the responsibility, you're really not ready for freedom, because it'll destroy you. You will use your freedom to your own destruction if you don't have responsibility of how to use it. It's infiltrated the world. It's the way of the world. The problem is it's in the church too. Well, are you happy? Ready to go vote? I thank God I'm not in these circles. I thank God that I have to read about it through the newspaper. I thank God that I'm totally oblivious to this stuff, and it just shocks me. Remember how Hillary was shocked? Donald Trump used a word before he was born again that isn't a good word. When I was in college, I mean, it was common vernacular. And Hillary's shocked, stunned. Wonder if she's shocked and stunned over John Podesta. Wonder if she's stunned over Lady Gaga. Is there hypocrisy or is it just me? Is it something that I believe that people should be respected of all walks of life? All people are created in the image of God. And He is not a respecter of people. But He wants us to come to a saving knowledge of Him. That means we change. We come out of the world and we start walking in the light of God. This is the year of turnaround. When God spoke that to me, the end of last year, really, in 2015, He said 2016 is a year of turnaround. In my heart, in my spirit, it's like, this has got to do with the nation too. And I felt compelled to share this with you before the election so you know where I'm at. And you know what I believe. And if it doesn't happen this way, it doesn't move me away from God. But I'm trusting that he's raising up an army, that God is doing this thing. We may not be able to survive 4 more years. And I literally mean that. Because like President Obama said, he believes in freedom of religion as long as you practice it in your house or in your church. But he said this, if you walk outside the doors of your church, you don't have freedom of religion any longer. That violates the Constitution in my understanding. Let's stand. Hallelujah. I'm not saying this to produce controversy. I'm trying to do it to get us to think and to look at things and understand how important all elections are. Not just this one. Every election is important. Every election is crucial for local people as well as high authorities. Every election is crucial, and we've got to start finding out what's going on so we can vote the will of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask for guidance and direction. We ask, Father, for you to reveal your heart to us that we can flow in your spirit. Father, we pray for the deliverance of this nation from all demonic powers that seek to destroy us. Because, Lord, they're not coming just after America. They're coming after the church. They're coming after the people of God. It won't stop with a few bakeries. It's not going to stop with just a few Tea Party agencies. Lord, this thing can become systemic to where it will squelch every opinion that doesn't line up with the PC attitude. So, Father, I ask, deliver us out of this. Lord, I call to your church to rise up. I call for the people in this land, God, to rise up and to vote the will of God in this election. We place it in your hands, God. We place it in the obedience of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.